Good evening, church. How are you all doing this evening? You doing good? Have a good week so far? I have enjoyed this week, and God has been so good. We're going to start off tonight in prayer, so if we can just all stand. And if you know someone that is not feeling well, I know we have some folks that are down with families with strep throat, and there's just a whole lot of just garbage junk going around. Supposed to get another big snowstorm. we've lucked out so far. one of these storms are going to actually get it right. So maybe this will be the one right before we want spring to be here. But we have a great service scheduled tonight. And Sister Jessica Rivas is going to be speaking. And we have our family series, Brother Peter. So I'm excited. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for such an awesome, awesome day that we've had. Lord, I pray that your hand will be upon each and every one of us. Lord, we come in here, some of us tired and some of us weary from just the work day. But God, I pray, God, that you would send a refreshing upon this congregation, upon these people. I pray, Lord, for our service tonight, those that are involved in our service. I pray, God, that there's those that are sick among us, our families that are struggling with illnesses, that your hand, your healing touch would flow across this congregation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And if you're a guest of ours, you can be seated. If you're a guest of ours, it's so great to have you here tonight. And if you're joining us online, you can. We have a connection point there online that you can bit.ly link that you can connect to. If you're here in person, you can sign up out in the vestibule, get a few bits of information from you, and we have a little gift for you. Might be coffee. I think sometimes it's coffee, and not for sure. I've joked about family of four to like Disney, but you have to be like the 1 millionth visitor or something like that. You have to sign up 1 million times to get that one, but no, I'm just joking. So we have a number of giving options as well. We have an offering box out there in the vestibule, and you can go to our website, or you can mail it in if you have some of those old stamps laying around, you're wondering what to do with them. You can mail. How many of you have licked a stamp anytime lately? Just a few. Some people don't even know what that's like anymore, do we? Anyway, you can mail it in or you can go to our website, and we also have a church app. And there's too many distractions up here for me tonight. I just want to grab a vacuum cleaner, and I don't know what this thing is here, but this looks very interesting. I don't think I've quite seen anything like this before, but I'm sure we're going to see tonight. And so I'm excited. And okay, we're done with giving options. I've got this like right here. Maybe we should put a blinder on here. This Sunday, we have a new round of life classes starting. So we're excited about that. So if you're a fairly new or a new member of Calvary Gospel Church, or you want to take and grow in ministry and you have not completed all of your life classes, you can check with Sister Jessica Rivest, who is oversees all of our life classes and our education ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church, and she can get you tagged in and plugged in where you need to be plugged in. But our new life classes will be starting this Sunday, so we're excited about that. And also this Sunday evening here in the main sanctuary, we're having our once-a-month men's service. We'll be starting back up, and our men's minister, Brother Jerry Simmons, who I don't see him here yet tonight, but he will be in charge of that service. So God bless you all. We're going to go into a season of worship here. And I'm going to step down with all of these distractions here, and I'm going to turn this over to our family pastor and to our worship team. And I'm going to go sit with my wife tonight. So God bless you.
Holy Lord, you are holy. Thank you. deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You are so great, Father. You are so great and greatly to be praised, God. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise because of who you are, Jesus. And we thank you for your presence that is here tonight. We thank you that you are with us, God, and we ask you, Lord, everything that has been poured into this service, we pray that you would multiply it tonight. Open every heart and every mind to receive from you as you desire to speak to us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Welcome to our Family Focus Wednesday. If you haven't caught on, we're doing this once a month. Pastor Peter has been ministering to us over this quarter. And tonight we are going to continue in this. The Way is Life is a series that we've been studying. And in all of this, the goal is to equip men and women to lead their families, to lead their homes, to lead their lives in a way that is a life that is focused on Jesus. Everything that we do should be centered around Jesus. In January, Pastor Peter talked to us about taking ownership, encouraging us and telling us that we are responsible for the growth of our family, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Everybody say, I am responsible. I am responsible for my growth, and I am responsible for my family's growth. In February, he talked to us about eliminating hurry and distraction, and we learned that we can slow down and be more present. Anybody do the homework for February? Anybody remember what the homework was? Sister Linda? Recording your time journal. Did you learn anything in that journal? Like, were you anticipating what you were going to learn, or were you surprised? Based on your face, you seem a little surprised. What's that? You were shamed. Oh, okay. Well, the goal of the exercise is not to shame us, but to get us to pay attention. Because sometimes we have to stop what we're doing so that we can see what we're becoming. But too often, in the hustle and the bustle and the hurry and the scurry, we don't do that. How many of you just forgot? How many of you attempted? Okay, there's a few more hands. Yay for attempting. And I think that the homework assignment itself, Pastor Peter, just speaks for what it is, right? We're so busy, we're so going, that we can't even take some time to stop and focus just a little bit. So then we come together here, and we get to talk about all of this stuff. But before we go any further, I'm actually going to ask Pastor Peter to come up here and talk to you. If I keep sliding through everything here.
Praise the Lord. So every month we're doing this, but we're also having a family night, family sharing, family prayer, whatever. It's very informal. Last time, I told you on Wednesday the 1st, that we were having it on Friday the 4th. Gave you zero notice, right? And we had like 15 or 16 couples and families show up. It was crazy awesome. And the kids were all over, parents were all over. And for some of you that were there, you realized there was literally no agenda. You just hung out. You get there at 5, get there at 10, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think we were mostly gone by 9:30 because a lot of people had kids, but just hanging out. And so this month, you get a little more than 4 days notice. It's March 25th. There is zero pressure to be here. Zero. This is not like this big event. You have to be here. You got to miss other things to be there. This is an opportunity for community. That's all it is. An opportunity for families or for people that just want to go hang out with other people. You don't have to have a family to go there. There were some people playing games. Some kids were playing soccer with a softball, very soft ball, inside the building, right? It was just relaxing and hanging out, and there was a lot of great feedback. Just like, oh, this was nice. We should have done this. So I would encourage you, March 25th, it'll be open. I keep changing the time, but let me explain this. It's an open house. So the church will be unlocked. I've already worked with Pastor Phil on that. It'll be unlocked. You come in. It'll be in the fellowship hall. If you're the first one there, then just sit down and wait. Somebody will be there. Okay? And then people just come and go as they want and leave when they want. It's just a relaxing time. It's an opportunity for a community. So if you can make it, we'd encourage you to be there. If you can't or don't want to, that's okay too. It's just an opportunity.
Awesome. Opportunity. Up to you whether or not you want to take advantage of that. I heard really great things about that evening. So for this evening, we're going to get into our final lesson for this quarter. This quarter has been about what? Family. That's good. What else? Priorities and boundaries. We learned we can take ownership for our growth, and we learned that we can slow down and be more present. And so tonight, our lesson, we're going to learn about family focus. We can choose what we focus on. Thanks for being distracted tonight, Pastor. It worked. All these things up here. It's a lot of distraction. I have a granddaughter who is almost 2 years old, and she has learned a few words. One of her favorites is Dada, and Mama is a close second, and Nana and Papa. She just won't say Grams yet. I think it's just too hard. And she says Bops for Pops, but I'm still waiting my turn. I know it's coming. But when she comes over to our house, she has found and discovered that we have some magnets on our refrigerator. And she loves those magnets. There's four of them. And so almost immediately upon entry, she goes by the fridge, because we keep them down here where she can reach them, and she grabs her little magnets. And last week, she came over with her daddy, who came over to get a haircut. And she grabbed her magnets, and she went off playing with her treasured prizes. And as I was cutting Sam's hair, Jackie noticed on the refrigerator that one of her magnets wasn't in her hand, but was up in the corner of the fridge. And boy, did she let me know it. She doesn't know how to say magnet, but she knows how to scream and make a scene and point. And she got our attention, and I said, "No, Jackie, you can't have the blue magnet." And she looked at me like, "Yeah, I get the magnet." I was like, "No, you can't have the magnet. The plastic is coming apart, and so I put it up out of reach until I can fix it." Go on cutting Sam's hair. And she stood there and she stared at the blue magnet while she held the other three in her hand. And she gave us the business, didn't she, Sam?
Yes, she did.
She even had crocodile tears and everything. She was so upset. And I'm like, "Jackie, you have the magnets. You have a living room full of toys. My house is your house. Go find something to do. I need to cut your dad's hair." She would not leave the kitchen area and take her eyes off of that blue magnet. So finally, I had to set down the clippers, and I went over, and I reached up, and I grabbed the blue magnet, and she stopped crying. And then I took the magnet, and I slipped it into my pocket. And she was devastated. So I got down next to her and I explained to her and I said, "Jackie, look, you've got three magnets here. You can't have that one. I know you don't know what it means, but you can't have that one right now. But you have these magnets." All she wanted was the blue magnet that I wouldn't give her. That was her focus. And so tonight, I have a lot of stuff up here with me, because for some of us, the blue magnets in life might be music. Maybe the magnet for us is work, signified by this toolbox. Don't fall over. Or maybe it's sports. Maybe the magnet that draws our attention is sports. Well, I didn't quite get it there. There we go. I knew you'd get it. Sports. That might be the magnet for us. Guys, what is this? A what? The Xbox controller. This is how I play the Xbox. Kenley hates it. I don't know how to do it, so I just do this and hope that one of those is going to score the bucket and I might win the basketball game. But I never do. It doesn't work. But maybe for you, this is the blue magnet that has your focus. There's so many things that can grab our attention. The blue magnet for me looks kind of like that. Or maybe the blue magnet for some of you is on a screen. Maybe a screen that's in your pocket right now. Maybe the blue magnet for you, mamas, is caring for a little one. Or maybe it's that never-ending pile of laundry and that unaccomplishable task of a clean home. There's blue magnets everywhere that distract us and pull us in life. But you know, tonight we can choose what we focus on. How many of you were focused on the objects up here tonight? How many of you are wondering, what is going on? I got a lot of questions when I came in tonight. And that was kind of the point. Because there's a lot of distractions and a lot of things trying to take our attention. And sometimes we feel like we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice because we have to work. If we want a place to live, if we want to have food, we have to take the kids to school. We have to get them into good things like extracurricular activities. We have to. And we go chasing after all of these things and we lose focus. But tonight we're going to see that we can find focus. I love the scripture in Joshua 24:15. It actually hangs on the wall when you walk into our home. It says here, "But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Which will you worship? The gods of your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living? As for me," Joshua says, "and my house, we will worship the Lord. We will serve the Lord." You see, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can serve the gods of tradition and the gods of our family, or we can serve the gods of culture, or we can choose to follow the way. We can choose to follow his way. I want to ask you a question tonight. Who is influencing your life? Who is influencing your life? Now, we're here. We're in church. So it's safe to assume that we're here because we're pursuing a relationship with God. And we talk about God, and we say that he's influencing my life. He is the influence of my life. And I truly do hope that that's the case. But who or what is influencing your life? Our lives are measured by time. That's how we measure our life. So we get minutes, we get hours, we get weeks, we get months, we get years and years, and eventually there's no more years, right? So we have this wonderful thing called a week, and in that week we get 7 days. And each of those 7 days has 24 hours. So in a week, we get 168 hours. 168 hours of opportunity for influence. How much time do we spend here? An hour? An hour of service? Maybe a little longer? Maybe an hour after service for talking? But let's just break this down and do a little bit of math tonight. How many of you sleep? How many of you wish your babies would sleep? They tell us that we should get how many hours of sleep? 32. What kind of day are you living? All right, 7 days a week, 8 hours of sleep, 7 times 8 equals 56. 168 minus 56 equals 112. Taylor, you are awesome. Okay, so this is sleep. This is the time that we invest in sleeping. Sleeping is good. All the babies say amen. We got a lot of babies in the church. Okay, so what else do we do with our time? How many of you work a job? How many of you go to school? How many of you work a job and you go to school? Yeah, you're the busy ones. So on average, we work how many hours a day?
Eight.
And typically we work 5 days a week, right? 5 times 8 equals?
40.
Great job. 112 minus 40 equals?
A number?
What did you say? How many of you say 72?
72.
Okay, we're going to go with 72. I thought they were good at math. I don't know what happened over here. Okay, so 40 hours, work or school. We started with 168. We're down to this. How many of you take care of yourselves? Personal hygiene is required. It is not optional, okay? So we need to take showers. We need to comb our hair. We need to do our laundry. We need to take care of our kids. We need to comb their hair. We need to do their laundry. All of these things. How many days a week? How many days a week? How many hours a day do you spend doing this? 2 hours a week? Army style showers. In and out. In and out. Let's go. Let's go. That does not happen in my house. 30 minutes later, get out of the bathroom. Okay, so let's come up with a number here. I know we have some people who don't have just themselves at home, some people who have lots of littles, some people who don't have any littles. So let's just come up with a number we can all agree on. How many, if we spend 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day getting showered, dressed, and ready, is that fair? How many of you spend more than that? An hour. Okay, so what number do you want me to use? 1 hour. Okay. 7 days, 1 hour equals? 7. 72 minus 7 equals?
65.
So then we have to commute. Some of us commute 5 minutes. Some of us commute 30 minutes. Some of us commute an hour. Some of us commute an hour because we have to do the big circle and get the kids to school and do all this stuff and then get back home and then all those things, right? So what do we want for a commute? An hour a day or an hour one way? See, we got so many choices. What do we want? An hour a day. Okay, that's another 7. 65 minus 7? 58. All right. I'm not going to keep going with all of this because I think we're starting to get the picture about where all of our time goes. Pastor Peter did tell us last month how many hours are spent on the screen. Does anybody remember that? A lot. Anywhere from 3 to 8 hours a day of this. But we can't find time to focus. We can't find time to prioritize. We come together in church service maybe 2 to 3 hours a week. In the grand scheme of 168 hours, what's the percentage, Eric? Yeah. This much, he said. It's really little. If we spend a few minutes a day in the Word, a few minutes a day in prayer, it's still what, Eric? Not much. We have to choose where we're going to spend our time. We have to choose how we're going to spend our time. Some people are really creative. When I lived in Mount Horeb and I traveled 35, 40 minutes, it was 45 minutes from my door to my office door, and I chose to use that time to listen to the Word or to listen to books. I chose to use that time to make phone calls, to connect, make connections. But a lot of times, what we find now is that we have a little downtime, and what do we do with it? Phones, screen time, entertainment. Maybe if we took a little time to do the homework that Pastor Peter gave us, we could find a little more time to focus on the things that we want, the things that we wish we had. When we think about all the influence in our life, one of the strongest influences that we have are the people who raised us, right? The people who raised us. For some of us, that's a very good thing. For others of us, it's a very challenging thing. How many of you were raised in the Von Trapp family? You know what I'm talking about. How many of you may have been raised in the Mary Poppins Wonderland? I wasn't raised in that. I'm an army brat. And sometimes we come together as husband and wife, and she wants the Mary Poppins Wonderland, and he's like, sir, yes, sir! And we can't figure out how to make family life work because we've got completely different ideas, but we never took the time to come together and talk about the ideas of what we were anticipating. You know, God did this crazy thing where he took a husband and a wife, and he said, I'm going to take your marriage, and I'm going to use it as an example to the world. And what I want to do with your marriage is show the world what my relationship with my church looks like. Anybody ever think of their marriage that way? Most of the time, we don't. In all honesty, boy meets girl, falls in love, everything's amazing, then they have kids, then everything's not so amazing. It's very difficult, it's very challenging. Life all of a sudden is frenzied and crazy and chaotic, and we can't figure things out, and we don't know why. Well, you see, in light of our homes, how do you see God? In light of the home you were raised in, perhaps, how do you view God? Spouses, what kind of a home do you want for your better half? Parents, what kind of a home do you want for your children? And more than what you want, stop and think tonight about the home you have. What kind of a home are you pursuing? I love this scripture here. It says, whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. The whole purpose in what we are doing in these series is to show that there is a better way with Jesus. There is a better way to do life than trying to keep up with everybody else and what they are doing. The way is life, and Jesus is the way. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the word. In other words, don't let the world squeeze you into their mold where you're left chasing after all of their things. We have to choose to live life differently. We have to choose to follow his way. You see, when we follow his way, it's kind of like this sphere that I know you're dying to know what is all about. Some of you know what it is, but be quiet. But in our lives, when the Spirit is at work and we're following the principles of God's word versus the way of everybody else, it begins to impact us as a unit. And everything that we do is made up of every little choice that we make. Everything that we become is based on how we invest the minutes of our day, how we invest the hours of our day, the days of our weeks and our months. And you see what happens if we get things in order and we find focus and we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, then he begins to expand and to work within us, within our family unit, and our sphere of influence continues to grow and grow and grow from what was once very small to something bigger that can impact the world around us. But the problem is that oftentimes we don't allow the Spirit to work and we constrict and we withdraw and we don't ever become what he desired for us to be because we're so busy chasing everyone else's way. You see, God created us uniquely and individually. My family is not going to look like your family. I'm not trying to make my family look like yours. My goal and your goal as a parent, as a spouse, is to look and to say, what are the principles for my family? What is it that God's trying to talk to us about? What is it that I need to grow, what I need to develop, what I need to show so that others can see the light of Jesus at work in who we are, so they can see the way, the truth, the life, so they can see that there is hope and there is life abundant. It doesn't have to be hurried and frenzied and empty, spent chasing after everything. See, we have to choose. We have to make a choice to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. But the problem is our influence. There's so much tonight in studying and preparing for this over the last couple months. And I was like, Lord, it's impossible for me to say everything that needs to be said to people. It's impossible. And the goal of these studies is not for us to give you everything, but to give you something that makes you go, huh, Lord, help me work on that. And so what we want to do tonight is I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to give you some homework. Some homework that we're going to start doing tonight. Guys, can you come help me? I need four of you. I got three, four, perfect. If you want to get that side. One of these sheets for family unit, please. What we want to do tonight is to take a little time to stop and reflect on who we are as a family. Who has God created us as a family to be? You see, life is full of seasons. Seasons come and seasons go. Hi, you're going to come up here with me? Seasons come and seasons go. And sometimes what happens is we don't realize this and we don't know what's happening and we're so busy hanging on to the previous season that we aren't growing into the next season that God has for us because we don't know what differentiates us as a family. We don't know what makes us different. We don't know what God's calling us as a family to be. Now, I know there are some of you in this room tonight, you've already got this figured out. And yay for you. Come alongside someone else and help them figure it out if you already have this figured out. Because we're in this together and we need to grow together. Because I believe that God has a divine purpose for every single person in this room. He has a work that only you can accomplish. And if you're so busy and so distracted where everything is important because you don't know what's really important, you won't get there. And God won't be able to do what he wants to do with only you. Thank you, guys. And so tonight, you have these papers, and we're not going to have time to go through this whole thing. In all honesty, it takes hours to accomplish this task. There's a book called The Three Big Questions for Frantic Families. I cannot pronounce his last name. Can you? No. Not off the top of your head. But three big questions for families. And that's where we pulled this exercise from. And so tonight, what we want to do is to have you get together with your immediate family. That means you, your spouse, and your children. Or maybe it's just you and your spouse and you don't have children. Or maybe you're here and you're single and you don't have somebody. But you have a life that needs to be ordered. And so every one of us can participate in this and stop and think about who we are. Knowing who we are and what we are for. What makes our family unique? As you go through this, this is called the family scoreboard. And this is a way for us to stop and to reflect and to pray and figure out what it is that we need to focus on. So tonight we're going to work on one, but I want to tell you what these other two are on here. What is our top priority, our rally cry? What do we as a family right now? See, sometimes what happens is we think about it and we think, I've got to raise these kids and I've got to get them off to college. But we're not looking at this season. And parenting comes in seasons. And this season, where I'm holding my niece in my hands, thanks for coming up here, Lucy, is a difficult season. It's hard because we're trying to teach them how to talk, how to walk, how to behave, what to do. There's discipline. The next season is training. We're training them on the do's and don'ts, the things they should do, right? And then they get a little older and we have to coach them because we've equipped them. And so seasons change. We have to understand where we are. My husband and I always talked about, I'm a planner, in case you don't know. I'm a planner. And he is a free spirit. Free spirit. We've learned how to make it work over 19 years, praise God. But initially, we had these conversations where we're like, okay, in the next 5 years, we want to. In the next 10 years, we need to. And we had steps. And one of the most recent seasons that we completed was we said, you know what? It's important to us as parents that our son is able to attend a private school. We understand we're going to have to get our finances in order to make that happen. We sold our home, we downsized, we saved, we took steps in order to get him there. Sometimes we say, we want this, but I can't have that because we aren't willing to put in the work. And so what this scoreboard is an opportunity for us to stop and to put in the work that says, hey, as a parent, I feel God is leading us towards whatever it is. It's going to be different for each one of us. And then the next thing is taking those steps to make it happen. And the final thing is, how are we going to figure this out? Because sometimes what happens is that we come to church and we get all inspired and we're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. But then we leave and everything just collapses right back down because we don't do anything with it. And so what we have to do is do something with it. In order to do something with it, we have to have a plan. Now, your plan may be different. You may work different shifts. For my husband and I, it's over coffee almost every morning. What are you doing today? What's the plan? Hey, here comes this next week. We got to do this, this, and this. But stopping, reflecting, and working towards whatever is the current rally cry. So we're going to take a couple minutes and let everybody find their families and come together. And tonight, what we want to do is to figure out what makes our family unique. And you're going to come up with this by starting and listing off things about your family. Or maybe about you. What makes me unique? Would you mind giving some words? Now, I know that Peter and Casey have done this as a family. We have not officially and formally done this. We're going to participate with you and do the homework tonight. But I'm going to ask him to kind of coach you a little bit on how to come up with this list and what we're doing next.
Sure. Okay. So to start, it shows a paragraph, right? Turn it over to a blank side of the paper and just start paper and just start writing down as you talk to each other and as you talk to your kids. And if you want to sit in a huddle in the aisle or in the front or over there, you can do that once I'm done. Okay. But start just, what are we? What do we like to do? What do we value? And it's not all we go to church. Like, okay, that's fine. If you value church, put that on there. Right. Some of the things we started to say is as a family, Casey and I, we said we try to be fun. Actually, we are a lot of fun. Like as a family, we try to do it. So we put that on there. We're fun. We found out it took us a while to figure this out, but we end up having to be pretty flexible in our family due to our demands of our work, of ministry, of the things we sign up our kids for. We said, you know, we're a pretty flexible family. We do that. We also want to be connected to the world around us. And we started to put these things in there, and even the kids helped us with some of these. And we're like, once we got it all the thoughts, and I think we had a page and a half of things that made us who we think we are, we bunched them into bunches, and then we put a paragraph together. And at the end, we had a paragraph that said something along those lines. Hey, we're a fun family that likes to stay connected, that values helping others and being a part of God's family and working and striving to follow God. And it's okay if we're a family that it's okay to fail in our family. We're okay with that, right? So those are some words we used. I would start by taking words as a family. What are we? Who are we? And if you're a single person, do it by yourself. Who am I? What is my life about, right? And this is not, don't put what you want it to be, what it is, okay? And then step two, we'll talk about later. But step one, what is it? So take 10 minutes, Jess, 10 minutes. As a family, if you need to go huddle on the floor in the foyer, we'll bring everybody back here in about 10 minutes. As your family, whoever your family is, and if it's just you, then just sit and think about it or write it down. Who are you? What do you value? What matters to you? Okay? You can't take the time out by yourself. We're going to give it to you here. 10 minutes. All right, that was 10 minutes, maybe 11. If you could, whether you're sitting in, out, if you're out in the foyer and you can come back in, we'll close this up here. That was 10 minutes. When Casey and I did this the first time, it took us a couple nights, probably 3 hours total. Because we really were passionate. We wanted to make sure we were doing this right, okay? You probably don't need 3 hours. We're just slow. We are. So, but the thing I'll say is this. The next part of this is your rallying cry for the season. What is something you want to focus on? And I guarantee, you want to focus on right now. And I guarantee you that if you are, there's probably something in your mind. Or maybe there's something as you're praying that God's going to speak to you about. But what is it that you want to focus on right now? Now, what's really cool is on the back they give you two examples, example one and example two. These are just random families. Casey and I, at the time we did this, we wanted to focus. This was a year and a half ago. We wanted to focus on being more present. That was our goal, to be more present. I'm going to try to pull it up here. Our top priority is to teach our family to be still and present in the moment. And to us, this means we are less distracted and more aware of our feelings and surroundings. And we said, we're going to focus on this for 4 to 6 months. And then we said, if we're going to do that, we need to set some objectives to do that. And guess what we did? We canceled gymnastics for that season. We changed our bedtime routine for that season. We changed how we had dinner for that season. We had zero tablet time during the week for that season. These were defining goals and objectives we made so that we could accomplish that goal. I was reading a book the other day it was kind of a book for like as men to improve and all this stuff. And he has this challenge. He says, what is one major goal you want to accomplish this year? Write that down. Then what's the one obstacle standing in the way? And then what is one thing you can do to start to make it happen? He's trying to make it simple, right? This is a little bit more in depth to say, what are the defining objectives that if you want to do this, you got to do these objectives. So as you're thinking about your own life, if you're single, if you're married, if you have kids, whatever it is, if you're a grandparent, whatever it is, what is the one objective, the one goal, the rallying cry, the focus that you want to put? And if you put Jesus on the top of that thing, you failed. Okay? Maybe it's, I want to spend more time with God. What does that look like? How are you going to do that? Well, I got to wake up earlier. I got to go to bed earlier, right? So what is your most important rallying cry right now for the season that you are in or the season your family is in? And this will change, but we're trying to teach you is how to start putting the focus where it needs to be. And so we got you started. 10 minutes. I can't make you do this. Remember lesson number one? We are responsible for the growth of ourselves and our family. I can't make you do it. This is an opportunity for you and your family, or you and your spouse, or you by yourself to say, this is something I want to change, I want to focus on in my life, and these are the things I'm going to do to get there. And then standard objectives are more just, what are the things? Hey, we got to stay on budget with normal stuff. We got to keep our marriage up going. You know, I got to stay healthy. I got to, whatever it is. I got to pray every day. Whatever your standard objectives are. Let's all stand tonight. I don't think I promised when we started this that this was going to be easy. I've really struggled with the verse in the Bible where Jesus says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? But then he also says, everybody that's trying to go the wrong way is on the wide road, the easy road, the one that leads to destruction. But the narrow way is kind of the more difficult one because not many people are choosing it. So how can it be the difficult road but the easy yoke? And I think we have to look at it in the long term. It's just like anything else in your life, whether it's exercising or eating well or trying to learn something in school. It's the day-to-day grind that makes us in the end better. It is the spending every day with God in prayer and reading his word. It is this, I'm going to do the thing that my flesh doesn't want to do every day. I'm going to fast this week one day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the difficult things. And I'm going to take this way of doing things that not a lot of people are choosing because it doesn't seem to make sense. It's much better to go read my book or listen to my whatever. I'm going to choose this way. And when we do that, then our life is more fulfilled and our yoke is easier. Because we have chosen the hard way up front. When I work out and tear my muscles and all this stuff, it's painful in the moment, but in the long run, I'm stronger and able to handle more of what life comes at me with. And so this is the opportunity for us to dig in as people, to dig in as families and say, what really is important to me? What is important? And can I start putting, you don't have to put all 65 hours of what's left over on prayer, okay? That'd be very difficult. But what are the little things we can start changing now? What is important to you? Because the whole lesson this week is we can choose what we focus on. And that's rounding out the end of our quarter. So let's pray that God would give us the strength to take the maybe more difficult, less popular path. Maybe the different way of doing things. Because we know that by faith, it will be easier. God's way is always easier. We have less stress, less anxiety, less depression, less worry, less doubt. We have life more abundantly. So let's just pray that God would help us today. Speak into our hearts and speak into our families. God, we thank you tonight for what you're doing in our lives. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. God, we can see and feel your presence, God, in this place, but we can see it moving, God, through time and how you're making difference in families and individuals. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, God. Show us the things you want us to focus on. God, as families dig into this homework, God, I know it's difficult. I know they're going to be working at it. I know it's going to be painful and weird to have these conversations, God. God, I pray that you would encourage them, speak into their hearts to show these people, these individuals, these families, the thing that is their rallying cry and the things they can do to achieve it. God, help us to put you first in all that we do. God, one choice at a time. God, I pray, Lord God, that as we take the hard path, the narrow road, God, that you would show us, Lord, how easy living for you can feel and be. God, we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed. This is your homework. Do it or don't. It's totally up to you.